Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you, Watchman on the Wall. End time, end time. Did you hear what I said? End time. Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, coming to you from Warren, Ohio, stretching on down there into Atlanta, Georgia, and from there we're going on to Texas. Brother Tim Jackson is with me tonight, and we're going to talk about the cross, because that's a priority. That's the first thing that men and women, boys and girls, need to know about this cross, because the world today we're living in, people are trying to delete the cross. They're trying to get rid of it. They don't want to hear nothing about the blood of Christ. They don't want to hear nothing about the suffering of Jesus Christ. They want to try to work their way to heaven, and I'm here to tell you, you'll work your way to hell, because you ain't going to get to heaven on your works. You ain't going to get to heaven on your looks.
Amen.
You ain't going to get to heaven on your money and your fame and your glory and all this. And, you know, if you don't go to church, you need to have church in your home. Amen. And because people ain't going to church like they used to, because they wasn't going that well before the coronavirus. Now the coronavirus is trying to make people feel like you're going to catch it if you go to church. Well, you can catch
right.
it anywhere. I'd rather catch it in church than anywhere else. And, you know, the devil, he just as crazy as a bed bug anyway. But we're going to talk about it tonight and let you know what he really is. Amen. So what we want to do now, we want to ask Brother Tim take us down in prayer. Then he's going to hand it back over to me, and we're going to talk on the cross. All right. Brother Tim.
Amen. Amen. Watchman on the Wall. Amen. Minister Elder Bazaar, I thank you, brother, once again for inviting me. Amen. It is a blessing.
Right.
Amen. Give glory to the Most High. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. And as you stay, we're going to go ahead and jump right on in. Amen.
Jump right on in the cross. Right.
Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day that you promised us, that you blessed us to be here to do your work, dear Heavenly Father, and to do your will. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praying, giving you all the glory and the thanks, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your son, soon to come to redeem the church, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying that we can win as many souls as we possibly can before it's too late, dear Heavenly Father. We are praying that those that are listening, amen, are reaching out to family and friends, and those that are in position to witness, that they are now spreading the gospel, dear Heavenly Father, of the return of your son. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't come for any shape, form, or fashion. We just come to uplift your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying, asking for more spiritual wisdom and knowledge to share with the world, to share with your children, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Strengthen us as we speak through your spirit. Amen. Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Brother Tim. Amen. We're so glad to have
yes.
you tonight. We're just listening
Thanks
in. 9 o'clock is a good time to hear the gospel. Amen. You kind of settled down a little bit. Amen. And you know, went through another day, and you know, faced problems and situations. Now it's just to hear and give you the remedy of your problems. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen, can settle your problems. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. And he'll tell you that he's his own. So tonight we're going to get on the main subject of the whole Bible. The whole Bible. There's very, very important things in the Bible, but the most important thing is the cross. Without the cross, the Holy Scripture could not be written. Paul could not have been saved. Men could not be saved unless the cross, amen, fulfilled what God promised that he would do. He came down from heaven, God himself. The Alpha and Omega came down from heaven, wrapped up in human flesh, born of a Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Amen. He did miracles. He suffered. He rebuked the Pharisees and rebuked the hypocrite. He rebuked those that tried to go against him, but he still loved them. He loved them so much that he said he's going to do something that no man ever done. And not only was he a man, but he was God in man. Thank God for Jesus Christ, because he's
Amen.
The only one able to deliver you and your soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Woo, my God, my God. You know what that means. That means that when Christ died for you and come up out of the grave, he got all power in heaven and earth and man. He can save you to the utmost. And we see that the world today is in such a bad shape. People don't want Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this right now, it's a Christ-rejecting world. And the reason why they're rejecting Christ, because Satan has deceived. He has deceived the whole world in believing that there's no God. He believed that he don't believe that he rose from the dead, but he know he rose from the dead because he visited them in hell. Jesus Christ went to hell and talked to the demons and everything that was in hell and told them, now, Baba, be down here for a short time. Amen. I'm going to be down about 3 days and three nights, and I'm going to leave. And when I leave and come on back on topside, I'm going to have all power. I'm going to have all power in my hand. In other words, before Christ died, he didn't have the power to save because nobody had died for the sins of man. And if nobody ain't died for the sins of man, then man cannot be saved. Good God Almighty, listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying if Jesus Christ wouldn't have died and came up from the grave, Brother Bizarre couldn't be on this broadcast tonight telling you the victory that I have through Jesus Christ. He died. He suffered. He bled. He called out, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He went through the Garden of Gethsemane and said, oh, Father, if it's thy will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he was saying, if there was another way, if there's another avenue, if there's another detour, I prefer to take that route. But he said, not my will, but my Father. Let my Father do his will. And guess what? Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, went on to Calvary's cross and suffered for your sin, Brother Tim's sin, my sin. Over 7.1 people on the planet today, he suffered for all their sin, each and every individual sin that you have made. He suffered and died and come up out the grave with all power in heaven and earth. And now he's telling them, come unto me, though a heavy laden. He said, whosoever will, let him come. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Woo! He said, now, if you want to be set free, I'll set you free indeed. And the world is saying, well, I think I'm free already. I'm doing pretty good. I got a little money. I got a little education. I got this. I got that. But let me tell you, if you ain't got Jesus Christ in your life, you in a sad state. Oh, my God. I'd rather go to life in prison. I'd rather go to life in prison than go to hell.
Amen.
Ooh, I'd rather go take a life sentence to go to prison and stay in prison till I can get out without any fire in the jail than go to hell. And the world today is saying, I'd rather go to hell and suffer my punishment instead of receiving Jesus Christ and be saved so you wouldn't have to go to an everlasting punishment of a lake of fire, because I'm here to tell you there is a lake of fire. There is a Gehenna. There is a Sheol. There is a place where angels are fallen, and then God got them locked up until the final judgment comes during the tribulation period. It's going to be hell on earth after a while. So what we're here to do, we're here to tell you how you can escape. Woo, escape the damnations of hell and the judgment of God Almighty. Because let me tell you something. If you die in your sin, God is angry with you, and he's going to be angry with you forever. Because you rejected his only son, good God Almighty. I mean the only son God had. He couldn't go nowhere else. He couldn't go back in eternity. He couldn't go forward in eternity. It was only him and him alone that brought salvation for my soul and your soul. And I'm here tonight. Listen to what this cross has the power to do. Amen. I'm going to get some scriptures here. Amen. Being Brother Tim, I'm gonna give him the verse and the book that the scriptures are found, and we're just gonna look at a few of them. There's 28. There's 28 scriptures in the Bible that mention the cross 28 times, from Matthew all the way over to the last book of Revelation. But the cross is not mentioned in the book of Revelation, but one thing is mentioned in the blood in Revelation, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ was shed on what? The cross. No other man shedded his blood on the cross but Jesus. Think about it. But Jesus, God's son, God in the flesh, God's blood, God's wisdom and knowledge to know what to do before man sinned. He knew exactly what he had to do before man sinned. He knew that man was going to sin, but man didn't listen. That was the problem. Man didn't listen. The woman didn't listen. Adam didn't listen. And so they failed. And when they failed, they was cut off from God. They were on their own. And ever since then, man has been on his own. And a lot of people ask the question, why is the world such in a bad shape? Well, Satan took control of the human race. When Satan took control of the human race, it brought damnations upon the human race. And the only way that man could be delivered from the damnations of hell and the brimstone and the fire and the punishment where the worm never dies is the only way that Jesus done it, and that was through the shed blood on Calvary's cross. Now listen to this. Hey, Brother Tim, I'm ready. You ready to go? Here we go. We're going to Matthew 10:38. It says, he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What do you get from that, Brother Tim? What you see in that verse, at least 30 seconds? What do you see in that verse? It says right there.
Amen. Matthew 10.
Yeah, 10:38.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. So, Yes, sir. So what I get from that, when it says, amen, when he says, taketh not his cross and followeth me after me, he is not worthy of me. In other words, you have to be Christ-like. Amen. You have to do God's will. Amen. You have to walk daily in the Spirit. Amen. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Show love. Preach the gospel. Amen. Tell the truth to people. Amen. Be truthful, especially when it comes to the word of God. Rightly divide the word. Amen. But most of all, we are to show love to one another. Amen. Because why? God is love. In fact, his first two commandments says what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen. And then the second is as the first. He said, love thy neighbor as what? Thy love thyself. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, I am my biggest fan. I love me some Tim. Amen. But I love Elder Bazaar as well. Amen. And the reason Christ said that was because he said, hang all the laws and the prophets on these two laws. Basically what he's saying, if you focus on loving God and loving your neighbor like you love yourself, you will automatically fulfill the law. You would automatically walk and do the law. You won't hurt nobody. You won't murder the brother. You won't be talking about the brother or sister behind their back. You won't be sleeping with your neighbors when you shouldn't be doing that. Amen. You would automatically fulfill the commandments of the Lord. Amen. And that's what I get out of it. Amen. To walk by the Spirit and love people as much as I can. Are we saying that we're perfect? Absolutely not. We know what Paul said. Paul said there is none, amen, righteous. No, not one. He wasn't just talking to the unbelievers, talking to the believers as well. But what he was saying was that we should focus on being like Christ as much as we possibly can. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother, that's beautiful, beautiful. And see, when we reject taking up our cross and receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are not worthy of him. In other words, we are turning our backs on Jesus Christ for what he done on Calvary's cross, because that's the only way that God could save the human race. And so the human race today is saying, what the heck with the cross? I don't need no cross. Mm-hmm. Well, when you reject the cross, let me tell you something. It says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy, and that's bad. You're not worthy to even call upon his name. If you reject his love, there's no greater love than a man lay down his life. John 3:16 says, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, because God don't want you to perish. We're gonna hit Matthew 16:24. It says, then Jesus said to the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Woo! I'll go with that one. Denying the love of God, denying the mercy of God, denying the goodness of God, denying the suffering of God, denying what he done to you, done for you 2,000 years ago. He took time out of eternity. He took time out of time for the human race, for every nationality, for every color, for every nation, for every tongue, because we were made in the likeness of God and after his image. And God loved us so much, he was willing enough to give his life, his blood, his time, his effort, and everything. What? Save us. Save us, man. Save you from sin. Save you from death, hell, and the grave. Save you from misery. Save you from the eternal judgment. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? If you reject the love of God, if you reject the mercy of God, if you reject the salvation of God, guess what you gotta do? You got to pay for your own sins. Uh-oh.
That's right, man.
You got to pay for your own sins, Brother Tim. Amen.
That's right.
And by paying for your own sins, the wages of sin is death. And death is separation from God. Not only is it going to be hot in hell, you're going to be separated from God forever.
All eternity.
Going to be separated from God forever. And the only place for you to go if you're separated from God is hell.
Mm-hmm.
And people today, I'll go to hell for anything. Man, the hell with it. How the hell are you? You're a hell of a man. Man, you go to hell. They use hell like it's a little small word, but let me tell you, it's devastating. Hey, man,
that's
you
right.
Can't eat fried fish. You can't fry fish in hell. You can't cook nothing in hell. But listen, look at here. You're going to be cooking forever. You're going to be roasting forever. Why? You rejected the cross. You're suffering of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to read this one, Brother Tim, and you come on with it. Here's Matthew 27:42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. I'll read that one again. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. They ain't gonna believe nothing. They ain't gonna believe nothing. You see, they ain't gonna believe it because all that he did, Brother Tim, before he died on Calvary's cross and come up from the grave is proof enough that who he was, that's who
that's
he
right.
was. He was the Son of God.
Right.
Ain't nobody ever walked on the water, Brother Tim. Ain't nobody ever did nothing what Jesus done until Jesus came. When Jesus done, he done miracles on top of miracles. He spoke to a young lady that had died, I don't know, 50 or 60 miles away. He spoke the word and she got up. She died. She got up. He spoke He spoke to Lazarus. And that's not a proof. You see, the world today always wants
proof
by
right.
looking at it.
That's right.
And the Bible says, faith is what saves you.
Mm-hmm.
Without
that's right.
It's impossible to please God, but you must believe
God. Amen.
The water for those that diligently seek you. So if you're not living by faith, walking by faith, woo, my God, without faith, God cannot do nothing. You got his hands tied. You
right.
must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. And the only way you can seek him, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the cross is the only way that I can reconcile the world into myself. Okay, I took
right.
that, Brother Tim. We're going to go and give you this one here. He said, now listen to this. This is a good one here. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He said, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. My God. My God. Jesus
Amen. What
said,
was that for real, brother?
That's 10:21.
10:21.
That's Mark.
Okay, I'm gonna go back.
Mark 10:21.
Okay.
I forgot to say 10:21. 21. You got it. You want to go ahead and read it for
you. Amen. You want to? Okay. Amen. He said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give
me.
Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Oh, my God. My God. That's powerful.
Amen. Amen. So what I get out of that is that people are so attached, amen, to worldly possessions and what they have. Amen. It's kind of like what we've been talking about. I know I've been talking about it for the past couple of weeks. People could not fathom leaving their jobs, spouses, their family, all their worldly possessions that they have. They would think that, man, Christ coming back. When you tell people that Christ is on the way back right now, this day and time, people are ignoring that that's a possibility, a huge possibility that Christ can come back right this instant. But people are so in love that they can't believe it. They don't want to believe it. They're not ready to leave this world. They are so attached to this life and their worldly position, their accounts, their jobs, their business. They feel like they have worked so hard to get where they are, but they don't realize it is God that blessed your mind and your knowledge to have what you have. It is God that give it. Amen. Ain't nothing that we've done of and out anything of ourselves. God has blessed us to have whatever we have, whether it be a house, a car, a job, money in the bank. God has blessed you, even your very health. My dad used to say, your health is your wealth. Your health is the best thing that you have, is your health. God has blessed you. We are so fragile, amen, that it don't take much for us to be sick or ill or to be on our deathbed, amen. Look at this virus as a good example. Look how many people were healthy people, taking the vaccine, double ups on the vaccine, they still pass away. You got folks with conditions, and they still alive, amen. But the point that Christ is making here is what? He said that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And what that reminds me of, let me see if I can find this scripture real quick. It's over in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let me read this real quick, but I'm going to turn it back over to you. Amen. All right. It says Matthew, the sixth chapter. It says verses 19 through 20. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. See, Christ is already telling you right there. Don't get caught up in this life. Don't get so caught up in your job, your brand new cars, your jewelry, your nice clothes. I know people, I talked to one lady, she boasted she got over 200 pair of expensive shoes in her clothes. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Lord have mercy, why would you have that many pair of shoes? You only got one. You only got two. You only got one pair of feet. Or to how do I say two pair of feet? Yeah, you only got 2 feet. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And you got all these pairs of shoes. You only wear one. And she said she gives away shoes all the time. But what Christ is saying that don't get so cut. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying not to be ambitious. I like nice things. I like nice clothes, a nice car. Yeah. I like to smell good, but don't get so caught up into this life. I've been preaching this since last year. Man, if God was to come back the next split second in a twinkling, in a moment of an eye, brother, I would not be disappointed. I told my kids, one of my kids, I think it was like earlier this year or last year, because he was talking about the stuff that he has. I said, brother, what's in heaven on earth can't even come close to comparison.
No.
Man, you're going to forget about it. When you see heaven, you're going to forget. You're going to say, man, they can have that junk on earth. Amen. Because the Bible says where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You don't understand that, man, can't no moth eat up whatever you're going to have. You have a beautiful garment that's going to shine bright as the stars and the sun. Amen. You're going to have possessions that rust can't corrupt. And death ain't going to be no thieves, because the Bible already tells you in Revelation that all the dogs, which is referring to the unbelievers, not an actual dog, but it's the dogs, amen, they will be in the lake of fire, running for all eternity. And we will be separated from anybody that's wicked, wicked-minded, evil thoughts. Nobody can ever hurt or harm you again. Lucifer and all the fallen angels will be in hell and in the lake of fire. They can never harm you. But watch what it says in verse 20 and 21. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where here's the key right here, doctor. It said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we have to ask ourselves, brother, tonight, where is your treasure? Is it in heaven with God? Amen. Where no rust corrupt, no thieves break in, no moth eat up, or is it on earth?
Come on.
People locking up. People got safes in the house. I've seen people have safes in the house, guns in the house. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You can't take nothing with you. I was just telling my daughter just that the other day. I said, people get so caught up into worldly possessions and people about the money they got in the bank. I don't care how rich or wealthy you are. Can't none of these people call themselves millionaires, billionaires. I don't even care if they're trillionaires. They can't take nothing. Man, the Bible The Bible said, naked you came, naked you shall leave. When you die, when you close your eyes on this side, you have the same exact same thing that poor man living out there on the street has. All you got is your soul. And that's why the Bible said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul. Amen. Lord, brother, I'm going to come back to the other two verses earlier that you gave. I still got a mark. Go I'm going to come back and just give you a little bit. But go ahead, I'm going to turn it back over to you. But I just want to touch on that scripture that you gave me.
Okay, I got one here. It's a powerful scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. 1 Corinthians
Amen.
1 and 18. This, for preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, this is a scripture that locks up everything that people say they saved. People say they sanctified. But when you preach the cross to those that are on their way to hell, it's foolishness. And most people who reject the cross are the rich folks, people who are filled with pride, people who believe they are better than somebody else, people who have a form of godliness, but they have never experienced the power of God. Preaching of the cross to the educated ones is foolishness. Hey, man,
that's right.
Are you talking about some man dying on the cross for me? I don't need nobody to be dying for me, man. Shoot, look at my education. Look at my plaques on the wall.
Yeah.
Man, look over there in my garage. I got 5 cars out there, man. Who you talking about, man? Man, I got women. I got this. I got, I don't have to worry about a thing. And you come and telling me that my soul needs saving?
That's right.
And this man called Christ, this is man called the Son of God, this is man called a Redeemer, can save my soul? Well, people don't believe they have a soul. You know,
that's
some
right.
people don't believe that they're going to die. Some people believe that when they die, they just dissipate. They just fade away. But see, the devil is a liar, and the truth
that's right.
is not. And one thing about Satan, there's one word in the Bible that he can't stand. Mention the cross. Mention the cross. And buddy, that sucker up. The reason why, because he knows, the devil knows that that's the only way man can be redeemed is by the blood of the Lamb. That's why we're living in the last days now. The reason why is because men today are trying to deny the cross. They're rejecting the cross. They're talking about positive thinking. And I like the word that brother used. I keep on forgetting. I can't get
motivation.
What you say now?
Motivation.
Motivation.
Yes, sir. Motivation.
Anytime you find a preacher, good God Almighty, anytime you find a preacher that's not preaching the cross, he is not a preacher. Paul said, Apostle Amen. Paul said, I preach saved Jesus and him crucified. He said, that's all I know. Oh, come on now. You know that's right, Brother T. You know
that's right.
Yes, anytime you getting up, talking about financials and what he got in his house, and send me $50 and I'll make sure you get a prayer cloth. When you don't preach salvation through the cross, you're not a preacher. You might think I'm some kind of nut, but if you're not telling the people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's God in the flesh, and that he suffered in the flesh for our sin, that he went down into the grave, and no devil didn't beat him up. No, you got some people talking about that Christ went in hell, went down in hell, and the devil gave him a whooping. No, the devil got a whooping. He whooped him good. He whooped him so bad that now he is trying to deceive anybody that don't know the scripture, don't know Jesus Christ. He's deceiving our young people. He's deceiving old folks. He's deceiving anything that he can get his spirit into. And the world is believing a lie more than they believe in the truth. Preach another cross to those that are going to hell. It's foolishness. And foolishness comes from Satan because Satan can't stand the cross of Christ. And you know how the world today, they use the cross as they try to turn it upside down and try to blaspheme the cross, but you can't do the cross no damage. No damage at all, brother. You cannot damage the shed blood of the Lamb. You cannot damage the suffering of Jesus Christ. You cannot damage the 6 hours he was hanging on the cross. You cannot damage the way they whipped him and beat him beyond recognition. And the only ones that was at the cross was Mary, John, Mary Magdalene, and they had a difficult time to look at him. Oh my God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Oh, they had disfigured his face. They had plucked out his beard. They had ridiculed and reviled him. And they were saying, oh, you so much a powerful Son of God. Why don't you come down off the cross? And see, Satan wanted to see, hey, man, if he wanted, he knew who he was. Oh, my God. He knew. And so he wanted him to come down off the cross because he knew something was up. He knew something was up. If I can get him off the cross. If I can get Jesus to call the angels down and take the spikes out of his hand and take the crown off his head and put a royal robe on him and let him walk up Jerusalem Street, going up to Mount Olive and going back to heaven without his burial, death, and the resurrection, the devil would say, I got it. I got it. The creation belongs to me. Oh, because there's nobody was able to redeem mankind. Nobody was able to save man. But Jesus said, Father, it is finished. And he dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder. And when they got him down, they took the nails out of his hand. Oh, my God. And they got him down. Arimathea came and Joseph of Arimathea came and took the body. They say, well, he's dead. Oh, my God. Hell said he's dead. Now, hell was waiting for them to come on down there because they were going to try to hold him just like they did Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Isaiah and Jeremiah. They're going to try to hold him down in there because nobody could get up. Good God Almighty. Nobody could get up on their own power until Jesus came. Good God Almighty. Ooh, ooh, Lord, help me tonight. Help me tonight. And nobody could. Satan helped Abraham. He helped all those patriarchs. He helped Samson down there. He helped all those young women, Ruth and Naomi. He said, no, I got y'all now because the blood of animals and turtle doves and all these animals that were sacrificed for 3,000 years could only cover sin. It could not take sin out of your soul, could not take it out of your spirit. And the only thing it did was just to cover your sin. But when the master of the master came down, good God Almighty, when he came on down to the bowels of hell, they tell me he's the light of the world. And he lit up hell. And when the devil saw the spirit, saw the Spirit of God, saw the Spirit of Christ come walking through the corridors of hell. They tell me the gates of hell shook and the hinges fell off. And the Bible tells me, I believe, that Jesus said, I got the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and buckled it onto his side and told Satan, I'm going to visit you for just 3 days. And after the third day, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I'm getting up out the grave. And, oh, you know, the devil always trying to fix something up. I believe he was trying to figure something out. How could I hold him? How could I hold him? He talked to death. And death said, I'll try to hold him. He looked over at corruption. Corruption said, death, if you can hold him, I will corrupt it. But he couldn't do nothing with him because he was God. Good God Almighty. It was God that raised himself from the dead. Come up out the grave with victory in his hand. And when the devil seen that, he said, oh, my God, I couldn't hold him. He's got the victory. And since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan said, I'm fighting a losing battle. The only ones that I can take is the ones that reject Jesus Christ. He knows that. If you reject Jesus Christ, the devil said, I got you. If I can keep you away from the cross. If I can keep you away from the shed blood, if I can keep you what Jesus Christ said on the cross, he said, I'm a father of one. I'm in the father and the family. If I can keep Jesus from coming from the grave, I've got the whole creation. But he couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. And when he got up, Jesus Christ told, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now I got the power to take sin out of man. And he took sin out of all. Patriarchs. He took sin out of Samson and out of David and out of Isaiah and Jeremiah and cleansed them and made them white as snow. And there's no sin in their souls now because the blood of Jesus Christ can wash your sin away and make you clean. And that's why I'm shouting tonight. That's why I'm rejoicing tonight, because when Christ came into my life, he washed me. Yes, indeed. Until they had to shut down the clothes company. He washed me and disinfect my soul with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I can call out to heaven. I can call out to hell. I can call around the world and say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And the only way that he could do it was that he died and suffered on Calvary's cross. But the preaching of the cross, preaching of the cross to those that perish, is foolishness. And the world today believe that preaching of the cross is foolishness.
That's right.
That Paul said, I am a fool for Christ's sake. He said, I'd rather be called a fool for Christ's sake than stay in Judaism. And when Paul came out of Judaism, the devil got mad. He tried to terminate Paul. But Paul said, I'll die first for the cause of Christ. And if you're going to take up your cross, let me tell you, there's a day coming. Woo! You may have to die for your faith. And there's only one faith. If you die for Buddha, if you die for Shintoism, if you die for Allah, if you die for any other so-called man-made religion, you're going to hell. Because there's only one man. Oh! One man that went to Calvary and got up out the grave on his own power. Now, anybody that can stand against the word of God and what I just said, anybody can stand against that and reject that, you got to be foolish. Because Christ is the only way. Good God Almighty. Young man out there, I don't know if you listen or not, older lady out there, if you're a drug addict, if you're a whoremonger, whatever you are, let me tell you, don't let the devil take your soul to hell with him. Because you go there, you're not going to get out. And I'm not here browbeating you or beating you with the word of God. I'm coming to you with the love of God. I'm not trying to judge you or whatever, but the Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. Please listen to me. Time is short. The day is far spent. The rapture is right around the corner. It may be this September. It may be next September. I don't know, but I'm feeling so close. I can feel it in my bones. And a lot of people say, well, I don't feel nothing. Well, you got to get close to the Lord. Amen. You got to get a little closer to the Lord. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I tell you right now, I love the Lord more than anything. I know Brother Tim loves the Lord more than anything. And I'm not going to get on and tell you a bunch of lies to make you feel good. Because I tell you, I'd rather make you feel bad now, and later on you'll feel better. Why? Because you will know that you are a sinner and you are lost, and God will give you the spirit to make you acknowledge that you need to know him as a personal Savior. Because this Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. And the world today is rejecting the cross. Because they don't sing it like they used to anymore. They don't sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. They don't say there's power in the blood. They sing all this hip-hop, jip-jop stuff, and jumping and shouting. They think they got it. You ain't got nothing. Hey, amen. You ain't got nothing to get out in that world and go out there and tell somebody who Jesus Christ is. He's the Savior of the world. Amen. And live the life and prove, not don't try to prove to people, but let God know, Lord, I'm for you. I'm more for you than I ever will be. Because if God is for you, it's more than the world against you. My friends, we're living in the last days. The rapture is almost here. The rapture is almost about to occur. It ain't but a few seconds. It may be tonight. I don't know. But let me tell you, Bible prophecy is at its peak. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sir.
Bible prophecy is at its peak. The Jews are getting ready, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Tim, and we're going to go over to the last end time. We're going to talk about end time, but what we want to do is let you know without the cross, you're lost. And there's all kinds of crosses.
Right.
There's a double cross. There's a double cross. There's a red cross. Come on. There's all kinds of crosses. And the cross is from here to eternity. And if you don't believe it, you better check Exodus. Exodus shows you the first sign of the cross. And that was on the doorpost of the lintels in Egypt when Moses put hyssop on hyssop and dipped it in the blood from a lamb and put hyssop and white blood on the top of the lintel, on the side of the lintel, and on the right side of the lintel. And if you know anything about geometry, where you connect lines together, you'll find from the left to the right, you got a horizontal line. And from the top to the bottom, you got a perpendicular line. And when you cross those lines at the point, you got a cross in the doorway. In the doorway, they had a cross. That's why death could not go into the house and kill all the firstborn. Was to give the signal of the cross of Christ way back there in Exodus. And then when Jesus came, good God Almighty, he verified it, certified, sanctified it. Because when he hung on that cross for 6 long hours dropped his head and died, he fulfilled Exodus. There's a doorway that you can get into heaven. And the only doorway you can get into heaven, you got to come to the cross of Jesus Christ, the shed blood that he shed 2,000 years ago. And I wasn't even born. And when I was born, I didn't know nothing about it. But let me tell you, my mom and my daddy in Sunday school and church, amen, got to me a point where I said, oh, I need to go to the cross. And ever since I've been to the cross, God has never failed me. God has
brought
me through my trials and tribulations and in my pitfalls. He's been through with me all the way. Why? Because salvation is free. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is not something you can lose. Good God Almighty. Eternal redemption. Jesus Christ brought it by the cross, because you cannot erase the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's in my soul, in my spirit, by the power of God, and the devil can't do me no harm. He can destroy this body, but he can't touch my soul. My friends, tonight, don't let the devil cheat you over some girl, over some drug cartel. Don't let the devil tell you this is life. This is living. That's not living. That's damnation. You're killing yourself.
Right.
You head for a pit if you don't let Jesus Christ come into your life and wipe all that sin away and cleanse you.
Right.
When the rapture occurs, you can take off like a eagle. amen, and gone into heaven, because heaven is nearer than you think it is. Jesus Christ is nearer than you think it is. And we want you tonight, amen, to think about your soul. Think about your soul. And think about, name me some men that can save your soul other than Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is the only man that saved your soul, you ought to come to him tonight. You ought to come to him right now. I mean, I'm serious, brother, because the tribulation is almost here. We're getting We're getting ready to bump heads with the Antichrist. We're getting ready to bump heads with Russia. We're getting ready to bump heads with the Afghanistan. And Russia got a – oh, let me tell you. I'll come back, but I'm going to give it to Brother Tim and let him go ahead. But he can take off where I left off. Amen. He can take off, but there is a situation coming up out of Russia, and we're going to talk about that tonight and let you know what's getting ready to happen. Amen. We're going to talk about this little coronavirus. Amen. That ain't nothing. Amen. That's just a little playpen to get you ready and set up for the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. It's a prelude, a type of shadow of people being marked. And when they get this mark, they'll be able to buy and sell. If you refuse to mark, you won't be able to buy and sell. There are people right now, after the flood of Ida down there in Louisiana, they tell me the stores were racked up. People was going in stores. They was fighting down there. Boom, this will get worse.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And now they're making almost try to make it mandatory that you get a shot. If you don't get a shot, you won't work. If you won't be able to go to the grocery store, you won't be able to go nowhere. It's 100 bus drivers. They was making it mandatory for bus drivers. The bus driver walked off the job, said, no, I'm not going to get shot. And it's going to get worse, my friends. Let me tell you, Biden ain't doing nothing but what the Illuminati is telling him to do.
That's right.
Biden ain't doing nothing but what the Illuminati tell, because the Illuminati is controlling Biden, because it was nonsense. It was crazy for him to leave those people over there and leave all our ammunition over there for them people to have an Air Force almost powerful as United States. It was a sin and a shame that he let that go, because they know, amen, he knows that if he would have took them out of there, they would assassinate Biden. They would have dumped him. They're trying to put Kamala Harris in, but that ain't going to work. The only thing that the world is waiting for, they waiting for the peace man. The lion peace man, the Antichrist. That's the only thing that the world can see right now. The devil says, I ain't got nothing but a short time, so I got to get this thing together and make these people realize that I'm going to do something that nobody ever done, and that's tell lies. I'm going to tell a bunch of lies, and the world will receive a lie before they receive the truth.
That's right.
The Lord said it's going to get so bad that God said, I'm going to send you a strong delusion that you'll believe in a lie, because he's not the love of the truth. Ooh, don't be a lie taker. Amen. Read your Bible. Get down on your knees. Repent. Say, God, save my soul, because I don't want to be left. I don't want to be left here going through the tribulation. You have a hope to make it through the tribulation, but if I had 100% hope, I still wouldn't want to go through. Amen. I want to get caught up. Preaching of the cross to those that are lost is a fool. It's foolishness to them. Brother Tim, take it.
Amen, doctor. Amen. Good word. Amen. Beautiful, doctor. Amen. You're right. The people that's in control of the world, what's funny about it is that they believe everything is going according to their plan. And what they don't really realize is that they are falling into the plan of God. Amen. Everything is happening just as it's supposed to happen. And I believe what's more amazing to me, brother, and I believe you and I talked about this, is that there are more people, more unbelievers, people that haven't even been to church getting saved than people in the church. Amen, being saved. In other words, the lukewarm that's in the church, they ain't studying, they ain't paying no mind. They know what the pastor say. I'll never forget one time I had a discussion with this woman. about 21 years ago when I first got saved, and we had a discussion about the same thing we're talking about now, salvation. And she had the nerve to tell me, I ain't listening to you, I'm going to listen to your pastor. And I just thought to myself, brother, I said, you're going to let your pastor send your soul right to hell. And that's sad that people will not listen to the rightly divided word.
True.
And they'll listen to this false teaching and false doctrine, amen, about salvation. And the world, the people in the church, this is why Christ gave John, the man, this is why he called John up to heaven and said, John, I need you to warn the church. The warning
yes,
was
sir.
The church, not the
yes,
world.
Sir.
We already know the world is lost. Our job is to, the church had 2,000 years to warn the unbelievers and to preach the gospel
yes.
to the world. Amen.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Our job. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But the book of Revelation was for those that were attending church. He says, send it to the overseers, the pastors, the people, the
yes.
bishops. Amen. That's over the church, the ministers, the ministerial staff, the evangelists, anyone that's in leadership in your church that's teaching the gospel, Sunday school teacher, Wednesday night Bible study, let them know that I'm about to return. And
come
brother,
on now.
I can only pray and hope that the message is getting out there. I believe that it is, that more people are talking about the return of Christ now. You have to let that go. Amen. The what we call it, the church anniversaries and all that you have,
uh-huh.
the church dinner, them days is gone.
Gone.
It's time
gone,
for
bro.
You to teach the world that Christ
Ooh.
Is on his way back. He
yes,
is
he
on
is, bro.
His way back, brother. And like you yeah. said, we are more closer than what they think.
Thanks.
Now, last year, when 2020 kicked off, this was before the pandemic hit hard, before most of us even knew what it was. Hey, man, you know how you hear stuff on the news, but you don't pay it no mind? I said, what they talking about, some virus? I'm like, didn't we have some type of Ebola a few years ago? I didn't pay it no mind, but they were talking about how this virus was supposed to be so serious. And I didn't pay it no mind. This was like the end of 2019. I went on about my business, but the Holy Spirit touched me in early 2020 and said that we got work to do. And I didn't understand at the time what the Holy Spirit was saying. He said, we got work to do, serious work. We have to move the word to reach as many souls as we possibly can. Didn't understand
Amen,
what
brother.
That meant early in 2020. Then you fast forward 2 months after that message from the Holy Spirit to me in January 2020. March 2020, it got serious. They kept on talking about this virus. People was dying from it. People getting very sick. We started making mandatory for people to wear masks. People, companies were shutting down. Business was shutting down. All this stuff was going on. And, brother, I said, man, look at this. And something had told me. I said, you know what? Something is going on that they're up to something. And there's something called the Great Reset. And I said this
uh-huh.
last year. I said, this is something, this is, and like we've been talking about, I can't understand how the people in the church, we're not talking about the people outside the church, we're talking about the people
no.
in the church. Now, we know in the church you have believers and unbelievers in the church. Your unbelievers
yeah.
are your lukewarm. They're coming to church. They're hearing the gospel. They're shouting and singing, but they're lukewarm, but they're faking.
Faking, right, faking.
That's right, bro. There's a warning to them. There's a warning to them to get saved. Because what the devil is doing is he is rehearsing for what's to come. And I can't believe how people in the church, pastors in the church, most of them still not preaching. Can you not easily see that they're rehearsing for the great tribulation? When they said that, when I saw them talk about the mask last year, brother, I knew what it was. I knew
Come
what it was. I said the last time that I can recall that the whole world had a mandatory, and I could be wrong, brother, was when Caesar taxed the known world and said that you got to pay taxes.
Come on.
And then they told the whole world, because people in Africa wasn't really on board. And then let me tell you something, how this thing worked. The Illuminati, they served Lucifer. All of these countries, these governments, don't you believe it? Don't you be fooled. They serve Lucifer. That's why it says over in Revelation, I believe it's the 17th chapter, where it talks about the religious Babylon sits on many waters. That means all seven continents serve the devil. This is how they work together. And they told them, hey, you make your people put those masks on. This is mandatory. How can a government mandate something for another country? That's because they're all in a brotherhood. They're in masonry brotherhood. They're in a fraternal brotherhood, and they all work together. And when the order is sent down, they must obey and comply. Amen. Or else you know the consequence. Amen. We saw what happened, amen, to John F. Kennedy years ago. You know the rules. Yes. You know how it works. You got to comply. Amen. It says over in Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 1, and how the whore sitteth upon many waters. Now they're telling us that it's almost mandate that you have to have the vaccination just to keep your job. Some are saying we're not going to do it. Some are saying we're going to do it. Some saying that if you don't have the vaccination or a vaccination card, we don't have to service you. In other words, you can't buy food, you can't buy clothes, you can't buy a vehicle, you can't buy a house. How are they not seeing that this is a rehearsal, a dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast?
Yes, sir, brother.
And sooner or later, don't get too comfortable, they're going to make it mandatory that you got to have this vaccination. This is an example of the mark of the beast, and I'm going to read it, brother. I'm going to go here, amen, and read it if you don't mind. Amen. Let me read what it says, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
It says in Revelation, the 13th chapter, it says, verse 15, it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Amen. We can see that example is happening right now today. In their right hand or in their forehead.
Yeah.
And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Watch what John said. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding, amen, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We already know what that is. That's 666. Brother, and as we've been teaching and telling people, the mask ain't the mark of the beast. The vaccine ain't the mark of the beast. You got so many people on social media, I don't know if they're just trying to get views or what. They're out here telling people that this is the mark. This is not the mark of the beast. In fact, the mark of the beast won't happen until it will kick off the last three. It happened in the last three and a half years. The Great Tribulation. The church will be being already left more than 3.5 years prior. We will be out of here. We will the only way that you're going to escape this mandate. I don't care what they say, what they do with this vaccine. Amen. It won't matter to us. Because they know that they can't turn back. Lucifer don't want them to turn back. Lucifer is pushing forward. Why? Because he already know his time is what? Let's go over to brother, if I got a little time, I just want to share it. Now I'm going to turn it back. I'm going to go over to Revelation. Amen. Why would it say it? Why would it say it? Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 10. Amen. I'm going to read verse 9 just for the sake of it. Revelation 12 and 9. It says, and the great dragon. We know who the dragon is. Who's the dragon? Well, he's going to tell you who it is. And the great dragon was cast out. Watch what it says. That old serpent. See, he was in the garden. Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth what? Not half the world. not some of the world. They're deceiving the whole world. Right now, you got people trying to sit there and tell us that there are people who ain't, that don't have the vaccination that's causing people to get sick. Now, don't tell the lie. It's the governments of the world that put this together that caused people to be sick. Don't put this on us. Amen. And choose not to get a vaccination. If you got the vaccination, I'm not knocking you. Move forward. Amen. But as for me, no, sir, I ain't going to be able to do it. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with me. You ain't going to put this law on me. Amen. Because I don't want to get a vaccination. Amen. That has nothing to do with anything. But see, that's the lie that the devil tell. Because we know that he ain't what? Nothing but a lie. Let me show you how I can tell you that he a lie. How is that people can get the vaccination, amen, and get a double vaccination and still die? Well, ain't the vaccination the purpose of the vaccination to stop you from getting sick or dying? Then why are you taking the vaccination double time and still dying? See, that's the lies of the devil. But because they ain't got no backbone, ain't nobody preaching in the church, ain't nobody standing up in the church and telling the truth and speaking out against this foolishness out here that the devil is doing. Amen. People just believe anything. Oh, I'm going to get because your doctor said, because a nurse said, because the government said. Man, let me sit there and tell you, boy, when the mark of the beast kick out, I'm so glad we're not going to be here. Amen. I feel sorry for those that's in the world that's going to take the mark of the beast. Because you already know what's going to happen. Amen. Watch what it says in verse 10. Said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Hey, they just trying to see how well this thing going to work. Is everybody going to be on board with it? Is there going to be some people? They just want to get a feel for what's going to happen because they are rehearsing. I'm telling you, man, they are playing with people out here. This is just a rehearsal. But the church won't be. Those of us that really, truthfully love God and believe, we have confessed with our mouth and we believe in our heart, amen, we won't even be here. We don't even have to worry about the mark of the beast. People are so scared. I see people in the church talking about, I hope that they make it through the tribulation. I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't know who they've been listening to. Amen. But they need to stop listening to them because I pray and hope that you get saved before it's too late. And I pray that you don't be here for the great tribulation. Amen. Because me and my household definitely don't plan on being here. We will be gone in the great by and by when the sky open up. We will be out of here, Doctor. Amen. But I just want to touch on this real quick, this great reset. Then I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
It said that this great reset is the name of the 50th annual meeting. You can go online and Google this. Of the World Economic Forum. There you have it. That is the world what? Amen. Revelation, the 18th chapter. Let's go over that.
Yeah.
What's Revelation, the 18th chapter? What does it talk about? Babylon.
Economic
Babylon. Remember we talked about Babylon and fallen? This is the economy Babylon. You got the religious Babylon, and you got the what? Economic Babylon. Amen. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get rid of money. Amen. And all they're going to be able to track everybody through electronics. See, what you got to understand is that knowledge and travel has increased. See, you have to know the time that we're in. The reason that we are pushing and pressing so hard and preaching this message is because why? We have noticed something according to the Bible. Just like the brother said, God tells us, amen, what's going to happen in time. God does things according to numbers and in order. They gave us a warning. Daniel warned us and told us what the end is going to look like. He said that knowledge is travel and knowledge shall be what? Increase. He said that in Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 4. It says, even to the end, it says, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What does that mean? Knowledge and travel. That's what that saying to and fro means. It means that the travel shall be increased. And so this is the time, the age that we in. For the past 200 years, they have never had to where man can travel across the country with steamboats, planes, trains, you name it. Cars, that we're able to travel
faster than ever within hours, where you could take days and months just to travel across the planet. Now we're able to do that within a matter of days. And, man, you best believe, Will, that we are in the last days. We are right here on the brink of Christ's return. Right now as I speak, he can come back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, brother. I'm going to turn it back over to you. I got some more, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you.
Yes, all right, doctor. That's all right, doctor. We got to put it out there. Amen. If the Lord leads you to go ahead, you go ahead, because the time is short, the day is far spent, and the sun is going down. Lord, have mercy. I got some, I'm going to go back to that one verse that I wrote, read, preaching of the cross to those that
yes,
perish. It's foolishness. Yeah, I'm going to give you some identification name. I'm going to bring them out in the open, because I ain't never heard none of them preach the cross. Number
Amen.
One, I'm going to tell it. You know, people may get mad and get upset. Number one man, I ain't never hear preached on the cross. He mentions Jesus, but he never preached on the cross. Number one, Louis Farrakhan.
No.
Never preached on the cross, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As long as I've known him and I've seen him and watched him from 1965 until this present day, I haven't heard him say anything.
Long
numbers. Coming from the grave. I ain't never hear him say about the blood, the power in the blood. I ain't never hear him say a gospel song that has the name blood in it. Woo!
Long numbers.
I ain't never heard Bishop Noel Jones preach on the cross. He preached motivation. I ain't hear Bishop Eddie Long preach on the cross. I ain't hear Paula White preach on the cross. I ain't never hear George Meyer preach on the cross. I ain't never hear Juanita Barnes preach on the cross. I ain't never heard T.D. Jakes say anything about the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his power of a resurrection and living a holy life. Rick Warren never heard it preach on the cross. I ain't never heard Clifford Dollar preach on the cross. I ain't never heard Joel Osteen pick up a Bible and read the scriptures behind
Amen.
The pulpit. He never carried a Bible with him, never come out to scriptures. He always talking about how well he's doing and how much money he got and spending time with the family, but he never preached on hell. He never preached on the cross. He never
Amen.
Preached on the resurrection. I didn't hear it. And if I don't hear it, you're a phony baloney. I ain't never heard Clifford Dollar speak on the cross. Noel Osteen ain't preached on the cross. Benny Hinn flapping around his coat and healing people and jumping out of wheelchairs. But I ain't never hear him preach on the main topic that the Bible gives us, salvation of the soul through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and him only, and repenting of your sins and accepting him into your life. I never
Amen.
Hear Kenneth Copeland. Never hear Kenneth Copeland preach on the cross. I mean preach on the cross. I ain't talking about just mentioning his name, but I'm going to talk about what he done. And nobody else ain't done it. And it should be the first priority in the word of God. It's the cross, or you're going to be lost. And the world is saying, really, you don't have to have all that bloodshedding. You don't have to have all that murder and how they did Christ. Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, sir.
Somebody had to suffer for your sins. Somebody had to die for your sin. Somebody had to be resurrected for your sin. Now, Jesus Christ is the only one that did it. Where is he? And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And the preachers are not lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. They're lifting up themselves with their three-piece suit on and their patent leather shoes and their golden rings, and they're talking all that yang-tang stuff. Let me tell you something. If you ain't coming out the word of God, you better strike a match,
no.
Because you're going to bust hell wide open. And I don't say that in hatred. You're going to bust hell wide open. Because the Bible says, if you have not the Holy Spirit of God in you, you're none of mine. And the devil ain't doing nothing but imitating preaching. And he can preach, but he ain't preaching nothing. And if he
That's
ain't
right.
preaching Christ, he's preaching nothing. He's preaching a whole bunch of garbage, and folks is sucking it up like a funnel going down a mountain, like water falling from the, they're just sucking it up. Oh, I like so-and-so. I like so well. I don't like nobody. I love everybody. I don't like
it.
I don't like putting down. If you ain't putting down the word of God, Brother Tim, I can't deal with you. If I'm not putting it down with you, you can't deal with me. We got to come through the Holy Spirit and let God use us both so we can warn the people, as many as want to be warned, because a lot of people, they don't want to be warned. They want to tuck their head and stick it in the ground and let their behinds be shown, and the devil give you a swift kick right in the head. And that's what people are doing. And the reason they're doing it, because let me tell you, the devil got all kind of clicks and tricks. And
that's
I'm the kind of preacher. I'm the kind of preacher, I don't play with God. And God don't play with me. And the one thing I know one day I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You hear me what I say? I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the works that I have done down here.
Amen.
And get my reward. And let me tell you, ain't let no devil out of hell. No devil, I don't care where he come from. You ain't going to get me from the word of God, and you ain't going to take no Holy Spirit from me, and you ain't going to take my salvation, because it's free.
Amen.
And I'm until the day of redemption. So if you don't like me, you just have to love me one day. I hope you receive Christ in your life, because one thing I don't want you to do, I don't want nobody, really, in my heart, I don't want nobody to go to hell.
That's right.
Only thing I want to go to hell is those demons that is calling man to be so rebellious and mean and cruel in a world when God knew it was going to happen. But if God is not going to intervene on the devil's stuff, but he's going to use his own stuff to, amen, to bring it to pass. God don't want to force himself on nobody. You got to understand that God will not force himself on nobody. And if you don't want God to come into your life, you don't want Christ to come into your life, God is not going to beat you across the head. And no, he's going to give you grace enough and enough time for you to make up your mind, because he ain't going to make nobody go to hell. He said, whosoever will, let him come. But today, we're living in our last days. A little bit about the Statue of Liberty. A lot of people don't know this. Amen. I've been doing some research in Botanica, in the Whitaker Encyclopedia, in the Word of God. The Statue of Liberty was imposed upon the United States from a Frenchman from France that was a Freemasonry, and he was a agent of the Illuminati, and he sent that statue over here to represent liberty in the United States. And the United States has took it up to have it there. I don't know how many years, but they have taken it up to make it such a great statue to stand up. But people don't know what it represents. It represents a woman. And it represents, let me tell you now, get a hold of this, because the devil can camouflage folks. He can sabotage you. He can make things look good on the outside. But the main meaning of the Statue of Liberty is prostitution. When they made that statue, they used that statue. They had a little small one in the temple, and they used that statue as using as a prostitution. And guess what? United States was found on the judicial Christian basic biblical principles. God Almighty, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh. It was found on the Judea from the Bible. And when they found, it was found on the biblical principles, and the United States had went down the drain since 1776. Because, listen, the United States leads the world in abortion. The United States leads the world in abortion babies. The United States leads the world in prostitution. The United States leads the world in porno. The United States leads the world in child prostitution. The United States leads the world in drugs and alcohol and killing and murdering and prisons. It's got more prisons than any other country in the world. And the reason why, because America has turned their back on God. And in the Bible Revelation, you see the great whore riding up on a beast. It signifies the United States is the mystery Babylon. There's a mystery to Babylon. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about if you go back to the 11th chapter of Genesis, you will find Nimrod building a tower to heaven. The United States got better highways than any other country. United States technology, army is better than anybody. That's why a lot of people want to come to America. But a lot of countries now is jealous of America, and so they are coming over here trying to deport America and cause a coup in America. All this is going on in America is going to cause America to fall in the presence of God because they don't took the prayers out of school. They don't took it out of the church. They don't took it out of the homes. The people saying, nah, I don't care nothing about no God. I'm going to live anyway. That's America. And I love this country, but I don't love the sin and the degradation and the racial injustices and all that. I hate it. But America is known as the great whore because they are taking kids. I don't people get a gap. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? You're taking little kids, 13, 10-year-old girl, grown men, in the government. In the government, the presidents are involved in porno. Oh,
that's
my
right.
God. If you just only could see behind the shield, because God reveals this stuff to me. All this year, witchcraft that's going on in the White House, voodoo and hoodoo and shoo-doo. And people get up and talk about we this is a great country. No, it used to be a great country. I'll tell you, it used to be America used to be feared. All the other nations used to fear America. And one reason America is strong is because they supported the Jews from 1948 until this present day. They supported the Jews. And the Bible says, now this is what the Bible says. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. I'm not lying on God. He said, Abraham, whoever bless you, I will bless them. Whoever curse you, I will curse them. America is the only nation that have stood by Israel, and I'm afraid that if they don't wake up, we're going to fall under a terrible judgment of God Almighty when you defile and try to deter the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people is what God said I'm going to use in the last days. The church mission is almost over. The church, this is the church pulpit preaching is almost over.
That's right.
The church dinner is over. The banqueting is over. It's over. It's over for those that want to come to church and look dressed up. And I want to be better than everybody. That's over.
Right. Amen. That's right.
It's so much over. Amen. When preachers get back in the church, if they do get back in there, they can't preach nothing but save Jesus, him crucified, that he's coming back again. Because if they don't do
that's
it,
right.
God's going to remove the candlestick.
That's it.
You know,
amen. Come on,
out of all seven churches, only two were doing exactly what God
Ooh.
Wanted to do. By that,
you got a few people
that's in some of these churches that's standing up for the word of God. You got a few preachers that's standing up for the word of God. And then you got a whole bunch of them, ain't nothing but a bunch of, as Isaiah called them, say, greedy dogs. They want to linger around, enjoy pleasure, and, oh, they want to beat somebody. They want to go to a Bible school and come out stupid. More stupid than when they went in because they got a name and a little star that shines a little bit. And it's, oh, man, I know it. You don't know nothing if you ain't preaching Christ. If
that's
you're
right.
Not preaching the Bible, you ain't doing nothing. You can teach all that homiletics. You can teach all that stuff. But if the Spirit of God has not anointed you, you need to sit down and repent and come out there saying, Lord, I'm going to do what you called me to do. Because anything
Amen.
That's not anointed, it hasn't been appointed. And if God don't appoint you, you better sit down, because I don't play. I don't play with God, like I told you, Brother Tim, and I know you don't play with God. And what we're saying here is evil. And America is in danger. And if the churches, if the deacons and the sisters don't start behaving themselves and get busy and start telling people, man, I got a hell of the game and a hell of the sun. Y'all better get right with God.
Right.
Because
amen.
When the rapture comes, it ain't going to be no patty cake, bake that man.
Sure.
It's going to be out. And when we leave, then the world is going to face the Antichrist. When we leave, your house is going to be a victim of vandalism. Your car is going to be a victim of vandalism. Your bank account is going to be a victim of vandalism. Everybody's going to try to find somebody else's stuff, amen, to use, because there's going to be a great absence of God's people from the planet.
Right.
I hope you can understand. It's going to be a great catastrophe. Airplanes going to crash, automobile accidents.
Yeah.
There's going to be people running to the grocery stores trying to find food. There's going to be relatives fighting each other. There's going to be husband against wife, wife against husband, children against children. It's going to be hell on earth.
That's right.
And the world is going to witness it. And we are so close. Because the last thing that's supposed to happen before the rapture of the church, Israel is supposed to make a covenant with the Antichrist to rebuild the temple. That's it. Because that temple will be the temple in which the Antichrist will sit in. And he will announce him in the middle of the tribulation period that he is God Almighty. And he will cause fire to come out of heaven. He will do miracles on top of miracles. And the world will be dizzled at. They'll be bamboozled. They will be tricked in believing that this man is God Almighty, which is a lie and another lie and another lie. And the devil don't care who you are, what you are, red, green, black. There ain't going to be no marching down the street for civil rights. There ain't going to be no, nobody can I eat in your rest. There ain't going to be none of that.
That's right.
Uh-uh. There's going to be a civil war in this country because of greed, selfishness, non-belief. People deny the only Lord God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When you leave God out of your life, you're going to go crazy. You already
Amen.
Crazy. You're crazy if you leave God out of your life. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to be crazy here and then die and go to hell and be crazy forever. But you're going to catch yourself. And please don't go to hell, because if you do, you're going to catch yourself and say, oh, no, this can't be true. Oh, no.
Yeah,
you mean
that's
to tell
right.
me
that's real.
I got to spend eternity in hell forever because
that's
what?
Real.
Because you rejected the cross, rejected the suffering of Jesus Christ. You went to church and you went to church until your face looked like the front door of the church, and you still did not receive Christ in your life.
Oh,
the world is saying, today, oh, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. What you got? What you got, preacher? You preaching damnation to hell? No, I'm not. I'm preaching salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
If you reject Jesus Christ, then damnation in hell is coming to your soul. And you only got one. You only got one soul. And there ain't going to be no rehearsals. I think that the brother said, ain't going to be no rehearsals. In other words, you ain't going to come back out of hell and say, Lord, give me another chance. No, that's it. That is it.
That's it.
Can't call nobody. You can cry, but there ain't going to be no tears. You can yell, but ain't nobody going to hear you. You can see. You can hear. You can taste. You can smell. And one thing, you're going to experience eternal destruction. The demons will be aggravating you in hell, punishing you forever because you rejected the ultimate. The only blood that could save your soul. because you was a Catholic, you said, I got enough, because you was a Baptist, because you was a Pentecostal, because you was this and you was that, and I spoke in tongues and I shouted, and I did all that stuff, but I never repented of my sins.
Lord have mercy.
I never humbled myself. You got so many proud people in church.
That's right.
Self-righteous, self-anointed and self-appointed. Gonna tell you if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to hell. You'll get there before I do, because I'm gonna try to get
that right
together. You're not going to heaven by no works. You're going to heaven by the grace of God through the shed blood of Jesus
Amen.
Christ, the Lamb of God, and that's it. Ain't nothing you can add and nothing you can take away.
That's right.
Ain't no south side, ain't no east side, ain't no ghettos in heaven, ain't no killing in heaven, ain't no murder
that's
in
right.
heaven, ain't no guys and little yous in heaven. It ain't going to be nothing but the love of God forever.
Yes, can't sir.
You understand that? The love of God forever. In other words, ain't going to be no squirmishes in heaven. What you talking about? You squirmishing
that's
down
right.
here talking about you in heaven. You ain't taking that stuff nowhere. But hell
Amen.
Is full of it. Hell is full of it. If you want to fight, go on to hell. If you want to lust, go on going. Go on, go on. I mean, I love you, brother. I love it. But if you stubborn and don't want to come and humble yourself and quit listening to these bamboozle preachers, they ain't got no form of life, ain't got no characteristic of life. Greedy, selfish, self-appointed.
Amen.
Backyard gospel preachers done made up some sermons and tried to twist the word of God to make it fit their ass. You better get
that's
it
right
because I'm gonna tell you. And I'm gonna give it over to brother. What you, brother Tim? But we
yes,
are
sir.
Living in that time now where Russia is getting ready to make a move, and this move would be. They want to make a move to attack Israel. And they want to attack Israel with five other countries. Five other countries going to come with, and that's the red horse. That's the red horse in the book of Revelation 6 chapter.
Right.
That's Putin on the horse. Now, he ain't going to ride no red horse and you see him go through the sky. No, he's just he's going to use that spirit to bring war. And when you bring
that's
war,
right.
you bring disaster. When you bring disaster, you bring food shortage. When you bring food shortage, you bring diseases. When you bring
that's
diseases,
right.
you bring death. And this year, war is going to be between Israel and Russia. And Russia wants the oil and the riches over there in Israel because Israel is the most prosperous place on earth where food is growing overnight. Why? Because that's a blessed land. That's the land where Jesus Christ was born. That's the land that he walked 33 and one half years up on the earth. That's the place where he died and rose again. So that's a blessed land. So you can't mess with that. You mess with that land, you just want to take a machete sword and cut your neck off. You're not going to prosper. And so America has prospered one reason, because some American Christians is blessing Israel. They love the Jews.
Right.
Thank God for the people who are supporting Israel, because these people are going to turn the world upside down. They're going to mess up a lot of these doctrines that's going around in these churches and in these Illuminatis and all these different kinds of secret societies. They want to rule the world. But when these 144,000 come on the scene, brother, you talking about a revival? Woo!
That's right.
A revival going to hit this planet. It's going to reel and rock. And they're going to preach for three, not 3 minutes, not 3 days, not 3 hours, but 3 1/2 years. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back, good God Almighty, from Zion, coming back
Amen.
To set up the millennial reign where Jesus Christ will sit in Jerusalem. Good God Almighty, I can't wait, man.
Yes, sir.
I got something in my feet that's moving right now, and I ain't going nowhere. Woo! Christ is going to reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
And it's
yes, sir.
For those that came through the tribulation in the natural body, he's going to do it just like he did Noah. Only 8 people will save. There's going to be a few people that go through the tribulation, and they're going to repopulate the earth during the millennium reign, and God is going to lift the curse from the earth. Woo! Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen, doctor.
When I get to heaven, I'll know everybody. I won't have to ask, what's your name? Where you from? How you doing? Where you come from? No! You're going to be known as he is known.
That's right.
That means,
amen.
Everybody. I'm going to know David. I'm going to know my mama, my daddy, my sister. I'm going to know exactly. When I see Jesus, I can say, amen. That's
right.
The one I wanted. Why? Because he's the one that was crucified for me, not only me, but for the whole world. He was the one that died for me. He's the one that come up out the grave for me. Not only me, but for the whole world. And then here you are.
Amen.
Here you are. You're walking on the face of this earth. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what your status quo. But here you are walking on the face of the earth, and you think that you can make it without Jesus Christ. Don't be a fool. You can accept Jesus Christ right now, wherever you
That's
are.
Right.
You can. You can do it. And I'm doing it because I've been called to do it, to preach the gospel. Not gossip.
That's right, amen.
Believe in gossip. And we got a whole lot of gospel preachers. We got a whole lot of gospel sisters and people gossiping about each other in church. And ain't edifying nobody. Ain't lifting nobody up. Just talking. I ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is good news that you can be saved from death, hell, and the grave. And if you miss it, it won't be my fault. It won't be God's fault. It won't be the Bible's fault. It won't be your mother, your sister's fault. It'll be your fault. And the world is saying, I'll take the fault. But as we get ready to close, we've got about half an hour. I'm going to let Brother Tim have it. And he's going to come with some words, 15 minutes, and then he'll come back in 15 minutes, and we're going to have an altar call. Somebody out there that's listening to this message, and we're talking from the bottom of our heart. We ain't talking no yang. We ain't talking something that ain't heard or felt. I know God. I know God, and I know Brother Tim know God.
Amen.
He knows Jesus Christ, and the same Jesus that he served, I'm serving. We don't have no quarrels. We don't have no indifference. We're not trying to out teach nobody. We're not trying to be the big shot. No, ain't none of that here. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Because your soul is in jeopardy, and I don't need to be fussing with a fellow saint to take you off track. I got to keep myself on track so I can keep you on track. And what I'm trying to say, what we are trying to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so you can be delivered from your sins. And that when Christ comes, he can take you to heaven only for one way. One way you can get to heaven. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Repent. Repent means to turn. To have a contrite spirit. You're broken up. I mean, you're really broken up for sinning against a holy God. And God can't come unholy to justify your unholiness.
That's right.
God is holy all the time. And his holiness cannot tolerate sin. And the only way God can get rid of you, get rid of sin, is save you. If he don't save you, then you got to be punished for your own sin. That's simple. A, B, C. That's kindergarten stuff. A, B, C. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God himself raised himself from the dead that you can be saved forevermore. Man, that's awesome. Man, I don't know what to do. I ain't high. I'm high on the Holy Ghost, brother. I'm telling you, I'm high as a kite. Ain't no marijuana up in here. Ain't no
Amen.
Beer up in here. Ain't no whiskey up in here. Ain't no women up in here. Man. People get high off of sex. You know what I'm talking about. They get high off of it. They live for it. They'll die for it. But in hell, they're going to wish they never was born. Don't be one of those candidates, please.
Try.
Don't be. Because if you do, it's a sad story that you can't make a movie out of it. It's too awesome. You can't make a movie out of it. There ain't no set time. There ain't no, take a break. There ain't no breaks. Think about it. God is being good to the world, being good to
Amen.
Me, being good to the United States. He has been blessing people, yet still storms are still coming. And what God is doing, he's trying to get your attention. The coronavirus, this was an attention. What the people should have did, America should have fell down on their knees and repent.
Amen.
For the low-down, dirty, rotten sins they have been committing other than coronavirus. All the lying and the lying preachers and the deacons lying and the church folk cutting up and acting a monkey. They need to repent and fall on their knees and say, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm a wretched backslider. I'm just a wretched person. Save my soul. And the world won't do it. They won't do it. So if they won't do it, punishment time is coming. Don't be one
Try.
Of them. Please, brother, wherever you are, somebody listen. And if you know somebody, if anybody listen to me, they grab your friend by the hand and tell them, amen. Man, listen, man. Hey, man, I hear a preacher on the internet. I heard him on radio, man. That dude was talking some stuff, man. He's telling the truth. Grab him by the hand and say, man, I need Christ in my life. I need Jesus Christ because I know what he said. It hurt me, man. It made me feel bad. It made me feel like I wasn't nothing. That's all right. Woo! We all ain't nothing, but God can make us something.
That's right.
He can make us a new creature. So when the trumps blow and Gabriel brings out that trumpet and Michael cast the devil down to earth, good God Almighty, you talking about having a good time? Woo!
You talking about
having a time of life. And it ain't going to last for no 3 hours. It's going to last forever.
That's right.
Because God, I'm going to say this and I'm going to give it to Brother Tim. When we get to heaven, there's going to be other governments in heaven that God is going to give the saints charge of. In other words, you can be a ruler of a nation. God's going to give you a position.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You ain't going to be walking around with flying with wings, with a halo hanging. God got a government.
That's right.
And the government is going to be handed over from Christ, from God to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to appoint every born-again believer that work through faith and the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to give them a nation. He's going to give them power of authority to rule nations.
Amen.
Now, oh, my God, you ain't seen nothing yet. The sun come up in the morning, you say, oh, man, look at that sun. That ain't nothing compared to what God's got for us. What? For those that love him and love his appearance. Man, you talk, people talk about Stalin and everything. Good God Almighty. God got something for those that love him. And he loves you, everyone. I don't care if you're a drunk, a liar, prostitute. I don't care. God loves you. He loves you. That's what he did for you. Brother Tim. You got
me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, doctor. Amen. Good word. Amen. Amen. I just want to touch, a little bit on the Holy Spirit, amen, listening to what you said, amen. Right now, the Holy Spirit is the only thing that's keeping Satan, amen, from turning up things, just really, really having his way, the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit stepped back, amen, and he's going to allow Lucifer, and then they're just going to cut loose, which is going to be, as you stated, all the stuff that's going on and it's happening to children being kidnapped, being taken advantage of. And when the Christ come back to get the children will be gone, because it's going to be such a terrible time on the earth, so unimaginable, the thing that's going to happen. Like you said, it's going to be madness in the streets. Amen. Nothing's going to be able to protect you from what's coming. Amen. People are going to be
breaking in
because it's going to be – people are going to be sold the numbers, amen. And let me share this again, because I think I shared this around this time or earlier this time last year, I think May or June, when I first started talking about the book of Revelation. Out of seven churches, there was only two churches that Christ was – he had found worthy. The other churches, he had condemnation. You know, they're candlesticks, amen. And so the only two churches were worthy. And if you do the math, 2 divided by 7, amen, it comes out to around roughly 28-29%. So that means less than 30% of the people, amen, this is my belief, less than 30% of the people of the entire church world, the Christian believing world, because they said there's about roughly 1.3 billion Christians or something like that on the planet. Amen. When you take only about 28-29% of that number, you'll see that you do the math on it, and that's what's going to heaven at the very kickoff of the tribulation, right before the tribulation kicks off. Not everybody that's in church is going to heaven. Amen.
That's right.
That's a small number. That is a small number compared to the people that actually attend churches around the world. Less than 30% is not a huge number. Amen. So there's going to be so many people left here. And I hope that, you know, that they don't accept the mark. If they make it, because that first 3.5 years is going to be terrible itself. And that's not even including the judgment that Christ is going to unleash that last 3.5 years. It's going to get worse that last 3.5 years. But so many, I'm talking about the numbers are possibly going to reach into the billion. So many people can't fathom that billions of people can die. I told you this virus is just a rehearsal for us to come. They talk about the numbers. They flash the numbers on the screen. Oh, we're in the millions. I can't remember how many millions of people they said will die since this all kicked off. But do you know how many people, there's going to be so many people that's going to die during the Great Tribulation that they're not going to be able to keep up with the numbers. Because Daniel didn't say, and Christ did not say, that it's going to be the worst time in human history for nothing. You think about, amen, but you think about starvation is going to probably reach into the hundreds of millions. You talk about World War III, that's going to take a lot of lives. That's going to reach up into a very high number. The fact that there's not going to be any water, people are going to starve. It's going to be cannibalism. It's not going to be enough food. You ain't going to be able to see any cats or dogs walking the street because people are so used to food. Amen, brother. People are so used to consuming meat that there's not going to be people who's going to have time enough to make you chicken and beef. There's a lot of those cattle. Amen. They're going to be starving. They're going to be the livestock going to be dying off and dead. People are going to be going crazy, losing their minds that first 3.5 years. Their family going to be gone. Their kids are going to be gone. People are going to be stealing. You name it, any type of crime that's happening now is going to be multiplied by a number we can't even imagine. It's going to be that bad. It's not going to be light. It's going to be blood in the streets. You think people are killing, and you think people are cutting up. We turn on the news now, you hear about men taking advantage of women. They're getting so brave now that men are doing it in daylight in the stores, in public place. Mm-hmm. So you think that's bad now. You wait till this tribulation kick off. You do not want to be here. Think on me. You think drive-by shooting and carjackings are that's going to be nothing. Killing people. You think these purge movies, and I ain't seen a purge movie yet. I keep seeing these little advertising, these little trailers about this movie called The Purge, and you think that's something. That is a cupcake cakewalk compared to what the tribulation is going to be. The tribulation, like the young people say, the tribulation going to be off the chain. It's going to be something that you cannot imagine the things that's going to be here on this planet. And, man, I'm going to tell you, they're going to have their way. And I more than guarantee you don't want to be a part of that. You think you tough enough? I heard somebody act like basically they were talking like they tough enough to handle it. I said, man, you can't prepare yourself for what's coming. How you tough enough? You ain't tough enough to deal with some of the things that's in this world now. More or less that. There's nobody that's been tough enough for that. It's going to be a time to, like the doctor said, people going to succumb, and they're going to just basically bow down and accept the mark of the beast. Some won't, and there's probably going to be some people who have gotten some type of training or something to do with church. Not all of them, but that 144,000, like the doctor said, they're going to be preaching and going off, and they're going to save some souls. Some people are going to get saved.
Yes, sir.
But we don't want no one to be here. We don't want you to be lost, because once the Holy Spirit moves back, that's it. The church is gone.
That's it.
We are out of here. And, you know, I keep hearing people teach that it's a possibility we may be here. The church going to be here. And I wonder where in the world they getting at. And I've given you scriptures before. I give you Revelation 3 and 10. But I'm going to go back, amen, for the sake, because it's been a while since I've read this scripture. And the Holy Spirit blessed me. You know what's so funny about this, Pastor? I haven't heard no pastor, nobody. I mean, even now, you go on YouTube, I don't see no pastor, nobody preaching about this scripture here, this verse. I found this last year in teaching about it. And I sure it, amen. I sure it last year, I'm going to share it again, because you don't hear nobody talking about it. This is how I know that the church won't be here. The Holy Spirit showed me this scripture, and the church needs to know this. The pastors need to know, and they need to teach the congregation and their people, amen, what's going on. Because it's important that we warn the church. That's our job, is to warn the church what's about to take place. If you don't believe you're right, we're not here trying. I don't have time. I don't get entertained by scaring anyone or by making up anything. I don't get entertained by that. Amen.
No.
My job is to tell you the truth and to prepare you, amen, so that you can go to heaven. Amen. That's Romans 10:9-10. Amen.
Yeah.
If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. Now watch this. I'm going to read this real quick. Amen. I'm going to cover salvation. And I'm going to turn it back over to the doctor. Amen. This is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Now, what I want you to notice about it, the Holy Spirit, I was just having to just be reading Thessalonians and studying about the day of the Lord and the Antichrist, and I ran across this context of scriptures. And it so happened that the order that Paul wrote this in happens to be before it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the coming of a falling away first. Now, the falling away is already taking place. It ain't coming. It's already been happening.
Yeah.
Amen. So you're on a late train if you think it's about to happen. You're on a late train. It's been happening for many years. Amen. The church has been deceived. These people have crept in unawares.
Yes.
And the people are rebellion against God. They're even more rebellious against God now. That's what the falling away means. If you look up the interpretation of it in the Greek, it means to rebel. It's not saying for those that are saved or to lose their salvation. I had a pastor tell me that once. I said, bro, that's not what that means. That's not what that means. It means that the people of the world will even become more rebellious and be like, I don't want to hear God's word. I don't want nothing to do with that. They want to do what they want to do now.
Uh-huh.
But let me read this scripture, amen, for the sake of time. And this is what it says. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 3. Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brother. So he's talking to the church. As it is me, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. The church has been through 2,000 years of tribulation. Why would God put the church through the great tribulation?
Hey, come on
God
now.
God is not going to do that. He is not the author of confusion. He is not going to send the church through the great tribulation. Paul wrote this, and he put this in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter for a reason, before he talked about the day of the Lord. The church won't be here. Amen. Now watch what it says. It says, verse 5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Now watch this, amen. I don't have time to break this down, but I'm going to go watch verse 6 and 7 very closely. Verse 6 says, seeing it is a what? Righteous thing with God to what? Recompense, that means to repay in the Greek, tribulation to them that trouble you. The church has been troubled and been through trials and tribulation and persecution for the past 2,000 years. Now watch what Paul says. It says, and to you who are troubled, he said, rest with us. Paul more than likely knew that he wasn't going to be here. So he wrote this to the church. He said, for us to rest, God said, I will give you rest with us when the Lord, who? Jesus, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Amen.
Come on.
So the church will not go through the tribulation. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now watch, I'm going to go, I'm going to try to read a little fast. Go look. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Amen. We will not be here for the tribulation.
No.
This is why it's important to receive salvation, not to wait, not to guess, not to think about it, because you may not be here. There are so many people that have left this world and in 2020, 2021, beautiful people, souls of lost, souls are lost, gone forever, for all eternity. They can't get no second chance. Your chance is now to receive your salvation.
Yes.
And he said that we shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So I just want to share that with you. Amen. And remember Romans 10:9-10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And that's all you have to do to be saved, brother. Amen. Back to you, doctor.
All right. God bless you, Brother Jackson. I appreciate your letting the world know, letting those that need to know, we will not go through no tribulation.
That's right.
Little information on that. The word tribulation came from the word tribula. And a tribula is a farm machinery that separates the corn from the husk. And it takes the husk off the corn and throws the husk on the floor while it takes the corn on another angle where you get the corn after it's shucked. So tribulation means God is going to try those that dwell up on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try. The church don't need to be tried no more.
They
already been tried. And by us being tried, he said, the trying day's over now. Come on home. So
that's
the church is to lead. Nobody that don't know the scripture or think they know the scriptures, they're going to be accountable for telling lies, and then they don't know nothing about it. And so what I'm trying to say, there's a lot of Christians that believe in the post-tribulation. They believe in the mid-tribulation, and some believe in the pre-tribulation. I'm a pre-tribulationist, and I believe that before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he's going to remove his body. That's his body. So he's going to let his body go through no more than what it already 2,000 years. Amen.
That's right.
That's the word tonight. That's Watchman on the Wall. Remember me and Brother Prayer, that we'll continue on to do what God has called us to do. That is, get the word out. And if you got a friend that needs, grab them by the hand. Say, man, come on, let's listen to this, man. This is vital information. We don't hear this in the church. We don't hear this in the Bible study too much. You mean to tell me all that we read in the Bible, ain't nobody saying nothing? That's right. The devil don't want you to say nothing about it.
That's right.
He know. The devil know he is doomed. And when I say doomed, I mean doomed. And all his angels are doomed. And if Satan wants this one thing, he wants your soul. He wants your soul to be punished with his angels forever.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ says, no, I'll come to give life more
abundantly.
And that is, come to him. You can come to him tonight. Don't wait. Brother Tim said, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Because if you do, you might die tomorrow. Don't think because you 20 years old or 30 years old or 40, you can die.
Oh,
you can die, buddy. Ooh, yes, you can die. And I'm going to tell you now, young folks are dying more than the older folks.
Yes, sir. You better believe
it. And they die because, number one, Satan comes to do three things: kill, rob, and destroy.
That's right.
Jesus Christ came to give life and give it to you more abundant. So all the killing you see, all the catastrophes you see, Satan is the cause.
That's right.
Because when you went to get to heaven, ain't going to be no more storms, no more killing, no more of anything that's going on down here. It will be no more of it. And God is not the cause of the world being in the shape that it's in. It's
the
devil and man, hard-headedness and rebellion. And if you don't think the world's going to rebel, and I'm going to close and try to get an altar call in here. He already done made the confession. Armageddon is when Christ comes back to the earth, and it's going to be the great big rebellion of the armies of the world will actually meet Jesus Christ at the battle of Armageddon at Megiddo.
Mm-hmm.
All the world will try to stop. Now, here how crazy Satan is. He's going to try to stop Jesus Christ from coming back to earth. He's going to try to, and I'm a fool. He's a big fool. He's going to try to stop Christ and the saints of God coming back to the earth to set up a millennium. He's going to try to stop them all quick. He's going to go to prison for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
Why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you come to you? If you don't come to Jesus, you're fighting a losing battle. If you don't come to Jesus, you're fighting a losing battle.
Amen.
You're not going to win. You can think you can win because you're pretty. You got your shape. You got your breasts. You got all your hips. And you got all your high-heeled shoes. And you think you miss America and the men with the broad shoulders and narrow waistline. You think you ain't going to get old. Yes, sir. If you don't get old, you're going to die quick, one way or the other. Jesus Christ is the answer to your life. Why don't you come? Only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible did say that thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Repent. Be sorry. Broken up. You're really disturbed. You're really disturbed. You're so disturbed, you tell the Lord, Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wrong. I'm backwards. I'm sick. I'm born in sin and shaped a nigga, save my soul so I won't have to be foolish.